This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So you got me today. A lot of me. I wanted to, it's interesting because when I heard that I was going to cover for Mother Kimberly, I was thinking about Roy LaBelle, who comes to Centering Prayer, because he had done a presentation just 2 weeks ago on the 23rd Psalm. So that was pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
It's almost like what happened to me. I go to the clergy convention, and it's all about Benedictine spirituality. And guess what book we just ordered for Centering Prayer? Esther DeWall's book on Benedictine spirituality. So God's working here, that's for sure. But anyway, this is what Roy had read, and I think this is so good. This is an interpretation of the 23rd Psalm, and then I'm going to share with you what Mother Kimberly wrote for today. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake. That's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. To God be the glory. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
I really like that. Thank you, Roy. So now I'm going to go into what she wrote. So here it goes. Most of us equate the 23rd Psalm with funerals. And I can vouch for that. Every funeral I've ever done, which has been a lot, has always included the 23rd Psalm. For a good reason. It's part of our liturgy for burial, and it provides all of us with great comfort and reassurance that even in the worst situation, God's provision is sufficient. As Christians, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm are usually the first things we learn as little children, and it's the last things we forget when we're old. But as important as this frame of reference is, there's another equally important frame of reference. If you're attentive to it, you'll find that it may be read and heard as a psalm about living. It's a psalm that puts daily activities such as eating, drinking, and seeking security in a radically God-centered perspective. It challenges our usual way of thinking by calling us to take our place with others in the household of God. As we spend time together in church, we develop a profound regard for each other's spiritual and physical well-being as a community of friends. Just as it was in the early church, through water and the power of the Holy Spirit, we become one body of Christ, buoyed up by the love and protection of the Good Shepherd, sharing and participating in that abundance of life. It is our inheritance from God and our ancestors. Craig Dystra captures the heart of what this voyage looks like in an article he wrote in the Christian Century. Years ago, I worked at the local YMCA teaching swimming lessons. My students were three and four-year-olds. Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, down the steps they would come from the locker rooms. As their parents sat along the wall watching warily, the little ones wandered over to the shallow end of the pool where I was waiting. You know how little kids hold themselves when they're cold and a bit nervous? They clutch up and shiver. They hold themselves tight and grit their teeth. So what I would do is take one child at a time off the edge of the pool and carry into my arms. Holding them close, I would carry them gently into the water. As we went, we talked quietly. I tried to make them smile and ease them into relaxation. After a while, maybe on their third or fourth venture with me into the deep, I would sink them lower and let them feel the water buoying them up. Eventually, I could lay them on their backs and get them to relax their knees, let loose their muscles in their necks, and slowly draw air into their lungs. At first, of course, when I would remove my hands, they would panic a bit. They would clutch up again and start to sink. But sooner or later, they would finally get the feel of what it's like to float. And at that point, they could roll over and start to swim. The first priority in teaching children to swim is to enable them to trust the water. Somehow or another, they have to come to a specific kind of knowledge. It is a knowledge that must be strong enough to address their fears. But they must come to know the buoyancy of the water. Buoyancy isn't something you can teach children, or anyone else for that matter, through a lesson in physics. Objective as it is, the sake of swimming, one has to come to know it personally. So it is with the life of faith. At the heart of the Christian life, there lies a deep, profoundly personal, but very real knowledge. It is the knowledge of the buoyancy of God. It is the knowledge that in struggle and in joy, in conflict and in peace, indeed, in every possible circumstance and condition in the life and in death, we are upheld by God's own everlasting arms. When you and I come to know that buoyancy for ourselves in this community, we're living into our inheritance of a life lived in abundance. We're able to live into our call to be good shepherds, to be swim teachers for others as they enter our community and come to experience that buoyancy in their own lives. This is not something that happens with one quick and dramatic dive into the deep end of the pool. Day by day, week by week, Sunday by Sunday, you are called to care for one another. Engage in the church's mission work. Take your place in the household of God. Day by day, you're called to develop a profound regard for the spiritual and physical well-being of others. If you practice your Christian faith together in the many contexts of your daily life, with this vision of buoyancy, abundance, mutual care, and interrelatedness, you'll witness firsthand the 23rd Psalm as a psalm of life. Amen.
Amen. Amen.